Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Red Pill Your Healthcast. My name is Dr. Charlie Fagenholz here with Lauren Johnson, FMP, and we're going to continue with the most asked questions. Let's start with question number one. Well, let me go through what all of them are going to be, because that's what we did last time, and I think that's a pretty good way to start the podcast. So, receding gums, twitches and tics, hyperhidrosis, low vitamin D, seasonal allergies, and vasectomies. So let's start with receding gums. Lauren, what do you think of when you hear of receding gums?
Well, I think of a few things. So first, I would wonder if the person has metal fillings, mercury fillings, if the person has a history of root canals, because the what is the how what is the body responding to? I would wonder that. I would wonder. I think there's also a depletion of antioxidants that typically occurs because that is what I have seen. I had this issue myself after being on birth control for many years and. Having three root canals over the course of 5 or so years, and which I've since all had taken out. I and now I don't have, I don't, I mean, I haven't been to the dentist recently, but like I have seen a massive change myself in my gum and my gums. And so I think that you really need to look at their history and say, okay, what all have you gone through dental wise? Look at their diet. Why is the body using up so many antioxidants? If they're antioxidant depleted, why is the body using up so many of them? And so that would be something to consider. And also increasing antioxidants, I think, is great too. But like, why is the body using them up? And so looking at all that, and then of course gut dysbiosis in general, which I know we've talked about at length. Charlie, what do you say about?
I'm in the same boat as you. I've been making it a point in my membership videos recently to really emphasize antioxidants, because so much of our issues, our inflammatory issues, which is pretty much all issues, have a presence of low antioxidant count, because toxins deplete our antioxidants because that's our body's way of trying to fight them off. And so what you'll start getting is symptoms like this, like where you need a lot of antioxidants that doesn't have it anymore will start deteriorating, which is your gums and your gut, right? Gut is so supposed to be rich in antioxidants. And so I totally agree with you on that. For antioxidants, I like actually turmeric and resveratrol, which is going to be in the new Cleanse Plus product coming out in May from Revita. And so for right now, I like Japanese knotweed, which is resveratrol. Turmeric, I like Tumero from Apex. One thing as well is CoQ10 is great for gums. And so Circutonic has the highest dose of CoQ10 in any of the products that I talk about. So I'll always throw in Circutonic with this. Like I said, the Cleanse Plus when that comes out. Another product that we don't talk about much that is loaded with antioxidants is called TheraSupreme. It is just a big antioxidant source, essentially. It was originally made for like a vegan's multivitamin and to help with nightshade toxicity, but it has so many good antioxidant-rich nutrients in there. So you can throw that in there. I find parasites to be the main infection, just like they will eat away at your gut wall, but eat away at your gum line wall, so to speak. And for that, obviously, you and I have talked about parasites a ton, but I will use Oral Supreme on the tooth gum line as well.
Oh, I should have mentioned that because that is the one thing that I will say that and I use a different toothbrush now that has a gum care setting. And I think you do have to be careful if you have gum disease, how you're brushing your teeth. You don't want to be harsh. And so using a soft bristle, and then I like this toothbrush that has like this gum care setting because like it is a gentle setting. And the Oral Supreme, I started that daily a few months, no, it was I guess it was 5 or 6 months ago now. And I noticed a big difference just when I was doing that. I also upped my antioxidants. I started CoQ10 from Apex. And I started Deep Purple antioxidant blend from BioPure. And those are really that's just a great like smoothie addition. It's like, I mean, it's just a good addition to water or whatever. And so those are the things that I would say. And then, of course, I mean, I've done years of parasite work because of me having acid reflux so bad in my, early 30s, I did years of I mean, it was off and on for a year and a half, consistent. And then of course, every now and then as needed since then, because it is a continual exposure that we have. And it is something that in Chinese medicine and other countries still today, they parasite cleanse 1 to 2, 1 to 4 times a year at least. And in our country, we just say we're clean. We're good.
And if you look at like places like Asia, China, things like that, you got to look at their cuisine. Their cuisine has medicinal herbs part of their cuisine. In America, we like to throw wheat and cheese and soda at everything and just, you know what I mean? And then throw in
Hey,
the seed
Coca-Cola,
oils.
it works to unclog a G tube really well. We used it in the hospital. We would literally order a Coke, and it but it dissolves what is stuck in a G tube. What is it doing in your body?
True, true. But you know,
Okay.
back in the old days, one of the, and some people still use it in like gallbladder attacks for stones. They'll use Coca-Cola for the phosphoric acid to dissolve it. Now I'd
Do
rather
they
just
drink a bunch
use,
of Coke?
they drink back like the original frequency medicine seminars would teach you drink a six pack of Coke and pureed asparagus. All within like an hour and a half time frame, and that's supposed to dissolve all the stones. But you can also use phosphorus, just fast food from standard process without the Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
That's a lot. That's a
Clinical
lot.
Pearl.
That's a lot of sugar.
It is a lot of sugar and it's a lot of phosphoric acid, which you know might disrupt your gut, but it's also gonna break down those stones, you
Yeah.
know. So that was their thing. So
Yeah. Yeah, so Oil Supreme is huge. I highly recommend, and then really upping those antioxidants and figuring out why are you using up your antioxidants, whether it's gut dysbiosis like parasites, and whether it could be, looking going to a biologic dentist and making sure you don't have any infected root canals. We've not done a podcast on root canals. I have a post on it I will share that has some studies to back it up. But basically, if you have an old root canal that you've never had looked at, I would go to a biologic dentist and ask for a cone beam scan. It's like a 3D x-ray. Yes, it's some radiation, but is it worth like not knowing about this pocket of infection in your mouth? I actually, speaking of that, there was a woman who's in holistic skincare who passed away this week. I don't remember. She's in New York. She's really big. And it's awful. She had bone cancer. And I was just really curious about her. So I started diving into her story. And I was fascinated by her story because she did both the several different routes with it. But she said, when she got diagnosed, she went to a functional medicine doctor after, she was going the traditional route, but she was trying to figure out the root cause. And they found, and she had an old root canal. She had a cone beam scan. It was infected, and it was on the same side as the bone where she had the bone cancer. Now, is that the only factor in her cancer development? I'm sure it's not. I'm sure I don't know half of what's going on with her story, but I did hear her say that. And I do know that bone or that infected root canals is also impacted with breast cancer because you're right there next to the lymph nodes. So it's not just about gum disease. It's also about other things later in life and root canals. Ha the whole procedure have troubles. Like it's just not a good procedure in general. And if you need one, if you have a tooth that needs a lot of work, my instinct would say to get it would be to get it pulled. It just depends on where it is and what all else is going on, obviously. But it is a it's not a good procedure that leaves infected tissue up there, and that's not good.
It's looking like my next membership video is going to be, people are voting on it now on Instagram, and it's really close between cardiovascular health and an updated autoimmune video of what I've learned in the last year since I did the original. It's looking like it's going to be the autoimmune one, and one of the biggest things I find is root canals with autoimmune. And so we'll talk about that in future.
It's a big factor, and I know it's something that like they're gonna have people say like they're not dentists. Why are they, why are they speaking on it? But it is,
Yeah, that's the issue, is that dentists don't know.
yeah.
That dentists don't know that it's people like us, a chiropractor and a nurse, who have to educate people about the mouth. And so that's a huge issue. Obviously, some dentists really get it, and that's great, but the majority of them do not.
No.
And that is causing a big issue because the health of your mouth is one of the most important microbiomes of your whole body is your mouth. And so we can't stress how enough how important that truly is.
I just can't stress enough. Like, I took birth control for 12 years. I had 3 root canals in 5 years. And luckily, I was able to have babies easily at that time. But like, my health plummeted after that stuff. And it's not just one thing, but it's a setup. It just sets you up, and it's a big factor in chronic disease.
Yep. All right. And so just to recap on that, we like Oral Supreme, and we really just want to maximize things like CoQ10 and your antioxidants. And Clinical Pearl, low antioxidant status is one of the top two main reasons I find with unexplained infertility as well, which I talked about in the infertility video. But thought I'd throw that out there because antioxidants are that important. All right. Next one. Lauren, you said you were getting a ton of these twitches and ticks.
Yeah.
You're getting a bunch of questions. Talk to us about it.
It's really common for kids today. It's not normal. It's not so if you have a child that has a tick development, you will probably go take them to the pediatrician, and they will say, "Oh, it's normal. It'll pass. It's fine." And like, I just want you to say, "No, it's not normal. This is my, like, I know my child. My child doesn't do this. It's not normal for children to do this. And please look into this further." So, and I don't even know, maybe you don't look into it with a pediatrician because they're not going to do anything about it. That's actually going to be helpful. But what I would say to do first is nervous system, or first two things, nervous system, and have they had a recent infection? So if they've had a recent infection, I would want to look at strep. I would want a strep test done. If they have a new onset tick and they had a recent fever or sore throat or headache, I would want a strep test done. Without even, if they even haven't had a sore throat, I don't care. I want a strep test done. And the anal swab too. That is something we saw a lot in practice, and it is an issue. Okay, so the nervous system, though, it could just happen because of the nervous system. Potassium is a big factor for eye twitching, and so I would wonder if the potassium's low, and maybe just up the electrolytes and foods that are high in potassium. I would focus on calming, so I would do grounding outside on this beautiful earth, sit in the grass, and just stay there. Like, I don't care. Go hiking. I don't like get outside. Get a PEMF mat, get a grounding mat, whatever. And so any of those types of things, these are good for kids too, and really helpful to help ground them in their nervous system. I like calming essential oils. I think that is a fantastic way to get more immediate results. Even lavender under the nose, taking a deep breath in and breathing it out. Doing the NET fast technique, that is a powerful tool that people just, I mean, kids can do it. I have my kids do it, like, on the way home from school. My daughter was having an issue about something, and I had her do it on the way home from school, and it's helpful. And so think about those things, and then also at the same time, investigate other causes. Okay, Charlie, what do you say about ticks?
I'm the same as you. Check for that infection. A lot of times they affect the nervous system, the basal ganglia. I like cat's claw, Japanese knotweed. I would really, I like how you said potassium. A lot of times eye twitching is potassium and gallbladder. But a lot of times, we can treat these infections, but the analogy is this: the nervous system can be a window, and imagine strep or something comes along like that, and it's a hammer. It goes through the window, it breaks the window, right? Your nervous system is not broken, but it's dysfunctioning. A lot of times, the herbs will take the hammer out of the window, but you have to rebuild that window sometimes. Sometimes the body needs a kickstart, and for that, I use sympathetic resonance technology. So just keeping that over the heart because the nervous system is a backup to I don't want to say broken heart because everyone goes right to emotions, which it could be emotions, but the heart is trying to hold up your body and it puts stress on the heart. And so SRT technology is one that I will use all the time with kids and on top
And
of the infection stuff.
mom
Oh,
to mom,
totally.
like, it is
Totally.
one of the best things I can, like, I used it yesterday, but after I picked up my one daughter from school, I was with my other daughter. She was struggling a little bit at that moment. And we had somewhere to go that evening, which we don't often, but we did. And I was like, I'm pulling this out. And I'm
Yeah.
telling you, within 15 minutes, I had a different child on my hands. Now, did she also get a homeopathic and a couple other things that she was due to have anyway? Sure. But it is the biggest thing that I say time and time again is having the SRT. They put it over their heart. And the
Yep.
car, they put it under the seatbelt and just over their heart. And it
Yep.
makes the biggest difference. And it's so helpful. And I know it's not cheap, but there's to have a tool like that with the mobility of an SRT light, it fits in my small purse. Like I carry it with me most places because it helps my kids so much. And it
Yeah,
helps me. It's great for EMF protection. It's great on a flight.
I have two of them in my backpack sitting right next to me. And it just helps every protocol work better because it grounds the mitochondria so well. And when that is grounded, then every cell is grounded. And so very, very brilliant. And then I like how Lauren said essential oils. I would use Elite Harmony in this case from Vervita because it's a 20% mixture of most of the oil, so it kind of helps balance most frequencies of the body. That's going to be the biggest bang for your buck in my experience. So besides that, I have nothing else to add. I think it's usually infection based. It could be food based too, food sensitivities,
And
and
that's just like it's heightening the nervous system when you are
totally.
taking in constant food sensitivities. You're heightening that nervous system. And so I would say that would, to at that moment, if you're seeing an increase, consider going gluten and dairy free, soy, corn, some of the other things that we mention regularly on here. Just eating meats, vegetables, fruits, things that, be eat food the way it was made. And
Yep.
then you should be able to kind of see if it's still happening. Okay, we need testing. We need to figure out, we need to get in with a local muscle tester, maybe do a bioresonance scan, something to figure out what is happening. But also at the same time, because that won't be as quick, go in and get a strep test done too.
And then this next one we're going to talk about is kind of a similar one of the remedies that I'll use for twitches and tics. I'll also use for this. When the nerve system is heightened, there's a lot of adrenaline running. I like Shisandra Supreme. I think it's a great calmer to the central nervous system. And I use it not only for twitches and tics, if that's how they present with, a heightened central nervous system, but hyperhidrosis, which is when your hands and feet, especially palms, sweat uncontrollably. There's no silver bullet for this one. I've seen this work. I've seen it not work, but Shisandra is my favorite herb to try because helps clearance of the liver. And when you, another thing I talked about in the infertility video, is when you have the liver clearance going proper, then your central nervous system and endocrine system is more regulated. And that's when people do well. So I would try Shisandra. Obviously, you can check for if there's anything that is exacerbating it, from infections to pesticides. I've seen it when people swim in chlorine pools a ton, which again, Shisandra helps the liver with all its detox pathways. And then there's other therapies like electroshock to the hands. I don't know. Things like that kind of I get a little iffy about. Obviously, if you've exhausted everything and it's still like really disrupting you, then you can go those types of routes. But in my experience, I try Shisandra and just central nervous system balancing with SRT, things that Lauren and I just talked about.
Have you ever done the or heard about the electric lymphatic work?
Possibly. I've never had it done to
ELT, I
me.
think is what it's called. Have you ever heard of it?
What is it?
ELT.
I've heard of it. I'm not like super familiar
Really?
or
Okay.
have like firsthand experience with it.
I don't know if that would be something that would be helpful for hyperhidrosis, but yeah, I would echo that. Did I ever hear you at one point say heavy metals is more of a factor with that, or you just feel like it's you can't pinpoint at all?
I can't. This one is like different per person. That's
Okay.
why it's like I mentioned Shisandra because it's the herb that helps all liver pathways and helps relax the central nervous system. And so when we sweat, like that's sympathetic dominance activity, So I'm trying to critical point analysis it, but I haven't seen that it's like, oh, it's every time it's a bacteria, every time it's a heavy metal, every time it's a pesticide. It's kind of different. I've seen some things like. One of them was a very high intense athlete swimmer. A lot of them tend to be athletes, not all the time, but again, that makes me go back to overtraining, cortisol, adrenaline, like the same patterns. So I hope that helps, but it's can be a tough one.
Yeah.
All right. Next, low vitamin D. You and I have talked about this, but let's just kind of talk about some of the main factors in low vitamin D.
I think, well, first, I think, guys, like we need to be outside more. I do think that that is a factor. Even if it's a gen there's a genetic component and all these other things, like I still want to emphasize, get outside and don't wear sunscreen. This is the perfect time of year to get outside and to not burn. I don't want you burning, but to get outside without sunscreen and to start building that base layer so that you have less of a risk of sunburn as the summer, as the heat comes on in summer and we get into summer. I really just think we just as a population are inside way too much. And I am too. I mean, there are weeks where or days where I fall into this and I'm just, like I have to remind myself, no, I'm gonna go sit outside on the trampoline or in the grass with my kids and let them play and I'll just sit or whatever it is. It's important that we actually do these things. So what else would you say is related to low vitamin D?
Well, most I would say the most common methylation defect, and everyone's going to be like, well, it's MTHFR. It might be, but in my experience, when I'm going through frequency testing of your genetics, vitamin D receptor is by far the most common defect, genetic SNP, if you will. And thankfully, we have tools that can override these SNPs. And with vitamin D, that is a need for vitamin A, K, and magnesium. Now, when you think about root causes, you got to think about, okay, so then what's causing that SNP to express itself? In my experience, Epstein-Barr viruses and mold are the two most common. So I like woad supreme. I like olive leaf supreme, Japanese knotweed supreme. In the future, Cleanse Plus will have olive leaf and Japanese knotweed, so it'll be a really good product for this. But I find that those are probably my top three lately for EBV. And then reishi mushroom with that as well. Now, mold we've talked about as well. Takasumi, black cumin, scutellaria, biotoxin binder, those types of things. Now, the product for vitamin D receptor, I like Da Vinci Labs ADK, comes in liquid and or in small pill form. That's very crucial. Magnesium, there are so many dang types of magnesium. You and I have talked about glycinate, malate. I like the brands of Pure Encapsulation and Vital Nutrients. Fringe is actually working on a magnesium right now, an elemental magnesium that I think is going to be better than the rest. I'll keep you all updated on that. But so say you have A, D, and K, you're taking care of viruses, you're taking care of mold, you have magnesium, but what if your gallbladder is not working? And your gallbladder is what digests fats, right? It's what concentrates your bile, and bile is the liquid that helps you break down fats, emulsify fats. And so if gallbladder is sludgy, then you don't have concentrated bile that helps absorb fat-soluble vitamins like A, K, and D, ADK. So gallbladder is really big. I like Glypho X, dandelion and burdock in there are great. I like Bodyguard Supreme for the gallbladder, digestive enzymes like GastroDigest. And a lot of times that will just help absorb the fat-soluble vitamins, and that will help increase your vitamin D. So all of the things, Epstein-Barr, mold, lack of A and K or a dysfunctioning gallbladder or no magnesium from stress, that all impacts the vitamin D receptor, not getting enough sun, like Lauren said. So it's really more than just taking A, D, and K. It's really more to it than just that.
I also, I think we just don't realize how many women in particular have low thyroid, high cholesterol, well, but men too, low thyroid, high cholesterol, and low vitamin D.
Yeah.
And it's all connected because a lot of that is it's you need your liver working, you need your gallbladder working. So what impacts gallbladder function the most? Fungus, and what probably is a big issue for a lot of women, birth control, because of fun and fungus cause and birth control causes fungal issues. And so, and overuse of antibiotics and all the other things. And so this is just yet another reason for me to insert my like get off our control. But
It's so
this,
true, though. It's so true. You got to
yeah,
say it. It's
I keep inserting it, but I will say that you just got to look at all those things and connect the dots there. It's not just as simple as getting outside or taking some vitamin D. So connect all the dots, and it will impact the rest of your health. You'll probably feel a lot better if you're absorbing your fats and your liver's working.
Yeah,
You'll be
totally.
eating more. Your skin's gonna look better. Like, there's just so many things that you're gonna notice that are not just related to vitamin D.
Yep, and the gallbladder has a ton of insulin receptors on it, so it's very sensitive to blood sugar. Again, a lot of people ask me if you can do anything with your health, what's number one thing? I'll always say balance blood sugar. It's the biggest bang for your buck. It controls the most physiological feedback loops in your body. To this day, I always, how many times have I said, Lauren, most important video of my membership, blood sugar video, by far. If I had to choose one.
Eat
All right.
protein, eat animal meat. Those
Yes,
are just two
animal meat.
factors for balancing blood sugar, but those are important ones
I
too.
was just watching a doc that I have watched for years, and he did a lecture, and he was showing that I can't remember what country it was. I think it was New Zealand, or I can't remember. Don't quote me on what country it was, but it basically was saying that they're having fertility rate issues because of the whole vegan vegetarian movement being pushed and people's hormones just absolutely tanking. So I know there's a lot of people on Instagram that will go and say, you know, vegan vegetarian, and this is what research says. Look at who pays for the research. And I can tell you right now, those people who are saying that, I would take it to the bank that those people don't have a ton of experience treating a lot of patients. All right, not to put them down or anything, they're probably good people and just want what's best for them and their patients. All right, last two, seasonal allergies. So I'm going to start this one off because it's similar to what we just said about vegan vegetarian. If you have seasonal allergies, most likely you're eating too many grains. And so first and foremost, I want people to limit their grain consumption. Now, seasonal allergies is can be a whole video on its own because there's so much that goes into it. But you think about what happens when season changes. Pollen change, right? But let's think about deeper. Molds and fungus change as well. And a lot of people have fungal issues because of antibiotics and sugar and pesticides and EMF and all that stuff. And so in season change, you will not do good because the fungal population in you shifts and your immune system gets triggered. And that's what allergies are, is an undigested protein that is flaring an immune response, essentially. So grains, I find to be a lot of an issue when people are saying that there's a lot of fungus in grains. And then some of the remedies that I'll use, I like Petunia Supreme, Albizia Supreme, Scutellaria Supreme, Reishi Supreme. Those are probably some of the main ones. I know you and I have talked about dehist and things like that. What else you got for us?
Okay, so I have a couple things. One is a lot of this we are seeing increase. I think we are seeing increased allergies too because they stopped planting the female trees because they produce the fruit. So they started planting all the male trees and it has a lot more pollen. And so
Interesting. I've
I
never
think,
heard this before.
yeah, there's I have a highlight that I did over 2 years ago about it. But that was back in the 70s. It's because they just really they're messier. I get it. There's fruit on the sidewalk. They don't want to clean it up, so they plant the male tree. It makes sense from like a landscape architect type of person. But from a health perspective, all that pollen isn't necessarily a good thing. And then we have to consider the wheat and the glyphosate and how all this wheat has more mold and fungal issues because of the glyphosate and the other things being applied to it. And so I love that idea of, you know, just if you're having seasonal allergies, that's a good sign for you to just stop eating grains for a little bit. And that will probably help a lot. I love the herbs that you mentioned. I use a product called Settle and Soothe. It's by Wild Holistic. It has several of those herbs in it, but I also that's it's a tincture, so I like that it's easy for kids. You know, my one daughter who struggles with histamine more, not with allergies, but with histamine just in general, she tested for Petunia like for several months. And it was such a helpful thing. The motion sickness got better. Just a lot of her histamine symptoms got better. And so I love Settle and Soothe. If you're looking for a tincture form, but in general, the Supreme herbs are amazing. And I've used those a lot. I love Albizia. That was the one, the herb that I tested for after my miscarriage, was Albizia. And it was so helpful for me in that time. And so it's a multi-use herb. It's helpful for histamine, but also great with insomnia and anxiety and depression. And then, so I will use Settle and Soothe. I will also use HistaHelper. I mentioned it last episode. I absolutely love that homeopathic. I need to send you a bottle of it because it's really to have you test it because it's really good. My one daughter has just really responded well to it, and I love that it's a homeopathic. So those are the things. And then Exlier nasal spray, washing your nose, sinus rinsing when you get in from inside. Like if you've been outside a lot and there's a lot of pollen, rinse your nose out, your sinuses out. Use Exlier or Clear, however you're supposed to say it, Clear nasal spray. Or the kids version of it. And yeah, I think that covers that.
I know I threw out a lot of herbs. I would say if you had to choose one or two, I'd probably go with Petunia and Scutellaria, which comes in tincture. We didn't mention vitamin C, so
Oh,
Camu
yeah.
or Acerola is the tincture form. It's probably in some of the ones that you mentioned in the blends. And then for people who like have really gnarly seasonal allergies, like need even more, then the two herbs I stack on that are Andrographis Supreme and Olive Leaf Supreme. And I always say if I had to choose one antimicrobial, it's probably olive leaf because I use it for pregnancy, breastfeeding. It's not too bitter, so kids, you can mix it in stuff. Very anti-inflammatory, supreme, no pun intended, antioxidant. And so it helps the mitochondria, helps the gums that we talked about, helps fertility. Those are the other ones that I would throw in there.
Yeah, I do like. I also want to mention the air purifier in the bedroom.
Good
You
idea.
know, that the dust and just things from this world that are in our rooms and you're breathing it in all night. Also, what you're washing your sheets with, because you're breathing that in. What are you? I mean, you're literally laying on it, and or you're breathing it on your clothes, and so that can contribute to things too. And so, what is the body responding to? And I think about the things that you're exposed to the most. Your bedroom and your laundry detergent can be big factors there, as well. Yeah.
All right, last but not least, vasectomies.
Yeah.
So this is going to be one where us talking about it is really just a lose-lose, pretty much. It's like we're not going to make everybody happy. I've talked to people in holistic health, and some are, don't really care if it's done or not. Some say, that the surgeon can clip too close to other parts that give issues down the road. There was a small sample of people who were more prone to cancer from it. And then people were like, well, what do I reverse it? Do I do this? I am under the impression in general that you let sleeping dogs lie. If you haven't had an issue and you are living a healthy lifestyle, I would just leave it. I'm trying, if I had to choose, I would try to avoid any surgery as much as possible, unless it's life-saving, obviously, or there's circumstances. But in general, like a vasectomy, if it were me, I'm talking from being a male, I have no interest in getting one. I would rather not do a surgery that is elective, truly. And I understand people like, hey, I don't want to get pregnant. I totally understand that. I am just going to be extra responsible if that's what it comes to, more so than getting snipped. That is my take on it. I would say that I haven't treated enough people, enough men, because I obviously holistic medicine is usually female dominant patients, because men don't have an issue until they're on their deathbed, it seems like. And so I don't have enough experience of someone who had it done and then had this issue after. So I'm just talking about from conversations I've had with people in this realm. That's my take on vasectomies.
Yeah, I would echo those. Oh, here we are. I was trying to pull up my post on it because it went away. Okay, so in general, I do not support them, and like just like go and random go get one. Like it's looked at as this like benign procedure where it has no side effects. In general, I don't think any procedure has no side effects. If you are
Right.
interrupting body processes, you're going to have downstream effects. And so if we're talking about a situation where the woman has massive clotting issues, and if she gets pregnant again, or a uterine rupture, if she gets pregnant again, then it could be a life-threatening thing. That's a decision you have to make. I mean, like, would I support a vasectomy over birth control pills? Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I'm with you on that one. I totally agree on that.
Yeah, or over an IUD. Yeah, like I
Yeah.
would. I do think it has less of an issue for men than those things do for women. So if you are just in a situation where it's like we just keep getting pregnant and we can't get pregnant anymore, it's not good for our health, then yeah.
Yeah.
I also think women just don't realize that you can only get pregnant like 6 to 7 days out of the month. Like just to tracking your cycle, it's good for you to know these things for your metabolism, for your thyroid health. Like this is a good point to know. Track your cervical mucus, track your body temperature when you wake up in the morning. I like this machine. I can link it below. I got like a link that gets you $100 off, but it tells you, it flashes red if you are gonna be fertile, or green means you're good to go. Like it's an easy way to track it all. There's other ways of doing it, of course, where you don't need to buy something. You do what you think is best for you, but like there are plenty of ways to prevent pregnancy without hormones and without a vasectomy. That being said, I totally agree of let sleeping dogs lie. If you've had one, I wouldn't necessarily reverse it if it's not causing any issues. I would probably check with like the production, because there is that increased risk of production of anti-sperm antibodies and increased autoimmune activity. So I might check like a CRP and like some inflammation markers. Maybe have it mu a muscle test or test you on it. Because that would be helpful. There is one study that showed it over half of men developed anti-sperm antibodies post-vasectomy. And this doesn't necessarily mean you're going to develop an autoimmune disease, but like you could be setting the stage. And if there's other factors too, which there's always other factors, then you could have that develop. And so we definitely don't want that. There is a risk of prostate cancer. I think that risk is pretty minimal. And I don't
Yeah.
know if you've had multiples. We've had multiple studies to back that up even. And
Right.
so in general though, our point is to say we don't really interrupt the body's processes for ourselves if we have that choice. If you're looking at a situation where it is just you need to make a decision for your health, and then yeah, of course, do what you think is best. Like you know yourself best, you know your body best, you know your husband, your spouse best, or whatever. Like do what you think is best. But see if you can also prevent pregnancy other ways too.
I agree with all of that. All right, what's your favorite saying at the end of the episodes?
I have two things to say. One
Oh.
is we treat health so black and white, and so, well, this is wrong. Well, you shouldn't use this because of this ingredient. And there is so many people in the holistic space that are just losing their minds, and they're causing a lot of fear, and that is just not a way to live. And so health is not black and white. It is very nuanced. So please, 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 like, don't let yourself get too worked up over what you see online. There is no there, there you really these people that are stirring up all this fear, they are not healthcare providers. If they were a healthcare provider, they would tell you it is worse for you to be living in that much fear. It
Yeah.
is worse for you to be living in all this like guilt and shame over some choice. Like, I don't stress about these things. My kids, we go to birthday parties or random events where I don't have as much control over the food. I don't stress. I don't stress. I do what I can. I prepare. I bring food ahead of time. I feed them ahead of time. I do what I can. But if I'm stressed about it and I don't have that ability, I don't stress. Okay. I wanted to add that in because I feel like I'm seeing a lot in the online space that it's just not what it's meant to be. Like, we're not
Yeah.
meant to be this stressed in the natural living world. Like, we're supposed to be happy people, and people are not happy lately. Okay.
Well, remember before we jump off, what's the event in October, the Trench National, going to be? It's the power of, or the knowledge of perception, or perception of knowledge, excuse me.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what you're speaking to right there. So tickets for that should be on sale next week as well.
Yay! Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
All of this was not meant to be medical advice. This is meant to be educational. Please speak with your healthcare provider before you change anything.
Thank you all for tuning in. See you on the next one.